What's up and welcome to Ask Father Josh, the podcast where I get to listen to your questions, pray with them, and hopefully respond in such a way that is helpful for you to become a saint and you walk toward eternity. You can hit me up with your own questions, comments, critiques at www.assistantpress.com/AskFatherJosh. And you can also rate us and review us on iTunes and Spotify and Google Play and other podcast formats, and share us on your social media pages. If you do this, other people might find out about the show. If it's been good for you, it might be good for them too. On today's show, we are once again joined by my good friend, Deacon Michael Parker.
What's going on, everybody? What's happening, man? What's up, dude?
What's happening?
What's happening?
What's up? So, yeah, man, today we're going to be talking about something I don't have practical experience of, but I do counsel people with this.
For sure,
though I'm not a licensed therapist, on how to make decisions when you're married. And so, before we get into that conversation, I want to share with you a glory story. Speaking of making decisions, it's good to make decisions when we first and foremost pray to God, get God's grace, ask God for his wisdom. And recently I had to make a big decision, and I prayed for something I don't typically pray for. Not that I despise this gift or don't want this gift, it's just not something I normally pray for, which is wisdom. And I recently was like, God, just give me your mind. I really want your mind. I really want your heart. Give me your wisdom. And I just prayed for like an outpouring of God's wisdom. And it was so beautiful because the very next day, I had some people here at the house, and one of them had some physical ailments, and so I asked the nuns at the school to come over to pray over them for physical healing. And after they prayed over the guys for physical healing, I said, well, y'all pray over me. And so they prayed over me, and one of the words that the sister got was just for an increase in wisdom. And I was like, oh, that's so cool, because I really had like a big prayer session asking for wisdom the day before. And now the mother is praying over me, asking God to increase wisdom in my mind, my heart, my life, my priesthood, ministry. And just super beautiful. Like, as I'm doing the ministry, as I'm going out trying to evangelize and meeting people, sharing the gospel, circumstances arise where I had to be wise. And the words that came to me in one of these like business meetings that I was in was from the Old Testament, when the Lord speaks about wisdom and how those who are wise don't have to speak too many words, right? You can just be silent, not say too much, custody of the tongue. And I did. And then a lot of beautiful things, I can't go into details, but like a lot of really beautiful things came out of it.
Wow.
I was like, dang, that's so cool how Jesus just keeps building upon the initial conversation that happened on Wednesday, the next day, and later that day, and then again the next day. It's just like, whoa. So it's like one long, continuous conversation. But yeah, so decisions that were made were hopefully made with the spirit of wisdom, and the Lord blessed that because of it. So yeah, shout out to God and for prayer and for intercessory prayer. And yeah, it's just so cool. It's really, really cool. If you haven't prayed today, make sure you go pray. And with that, let's jump into today's show. All right, so Deacon Michael, the show today is about how to make decisions whenever you're married. And I guess there's a lot of decisions you have to make as a married couple. You have to make
decisions, man,
about where your kids go to school, mm-hmm, where you're going to live, whether or not who works, who doesn't work,
right,
how many kids you have, if you can have kids, how you spend the money. There's so much that goes into
so this. So much that goes along with the lines of it. So, no, and that's one of the main things. I mean, as far as with marriage, it's the idea, and I love this, and one of the things that we had in our preparation whenever we were going to our wedding day was the mindset of us just being able to be one, and also just with the mindset of having good conversation, good dialogue between each other as husband and wife. So I usually kind of keep this mindset whenever we make our decisions, and also just with my wife and I whenever we are ministering to other couples. And I always say that the day of our wedding, what we did was, especially as we were in the sanctuary together, as we were so happy about the preparation that we had beforehand, it felt like we were just in on a secret that nobody else knew. And kind of keep that as the forefront of our marriage too, is just that we've always come back to the mind, to that idea that we are partners and that we are working things out together as husband and wife. So the decisions that we make, we have to value that we are partners in everything that we do. So I usually don't make the decisions without my wife always knowing exactly where we're going with it. So sometimes you have the conundrum where people will say, like, as a man in the house or as a husband, I can just make the call or this decision and everybody else follows. But I go back to St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians. It's like, husband, love your wives the way that Christ loves the church. And even though that you may seem that this may be in your best interest of making certain executive calls per se, it's not necessarily beneficial if your wife and you are not on accord as one to bring this out to the masses and the decisions. So you're talking about the many things that you would have to contemplate on when you're getting married. And all of this has to come from us having continuous dialogue and constant discernment too in prayer.
Because you change.
Yes, because right? Everybody changes.
As we get older, like, exactly. We have an idea of what marriage is going to be like and what our life will look like. And then you get married and you live in the reality mm-hmm. of life with your spouse, and you experience a child, and right. You might have postpartum depression after you give birth to that child, and so exactly. that changes the flow of things in the household, and you might not be able to conceive, you might be infertile, and so right. that changes the way that things are going to look for you and your family, and there's just so many, you might lose a job, mm-hmm. there's so many factors that change the way that we thought our life would look, should look, or could look, and we have to always be open to, as we've been saying this whole season, it's constant discernment.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So no, that's a huge part with it. I mean, just thinking about it, I can just think of one particular instance. And I made an analogy whenever I was doing a marriage presentation and just talking about how we have to be just one, or just completely one, to, again, be that reflection of God's love for us. And I remember saying, like, some of the things that we're influenced by is, like, even, like, sitcoms and stuff like that. So we brought up, like, Family Matters, the mindset of that. What is a Full House, Married with Children, these shows. And then, you know, it kind of just gives that overall conundrum of what you think a marriage is supposed to look like. But it doesn't really factor up to what we are called to do as husband and wife within our church as a sacrament. So many things that pops up. I think about a particular instance for me where I was actually tempted on making a big decision, and it has to come, like, down to, like, finances. One of the things I was thinking about, going through a phase, especially after our firstborn, and I was thinking about how much I would give, you know, we give up so much, and I wanted to try and do something fun. And I remember going on my lunch break to Harley Davidson, to their shopping center for a motorcycle. And I remember literally I was about to just sign on a dotted line for a motorcycle that my wife did not approve of. And I remember just thinking, if I do this, this is not going to be good for our marriage. So, I mean, literally I ran out of the finance manager's office and I was like, I cannot do this without the okay from my wife for us to be mutually mm-hmm. Understanding of what we're doing. So every decision that we make, or that especially that's a huge factor towards our family and our household, has to be made together.
Well, the same thing is a priest. Mm-hmm. I am a bridegroom of the church, and the church is my bride. This parish, Sacred Heart of Jesus, is my bride. I don't go and make decisions without consulting with my pastoral council. Like, we have conversations and mm-hmm. we communally pray about, because they see things that I don't see. Mm-hmm. They know things about the parish that I don't know. And so, like, your wife will have an insight into your children that you as a father will not have, that only she will have. And so she would know what's best for the kids. And you're like, well, we need to do this. And she's like, well, hold up now.
Right.
I know their temperaments.
Exactly.
And I know their personalities, and I know their experiences, and I know that actually won't work here. So for me, it's like my people in the parish were telling me, Father Josh, that sounds really great on paper, but we know the history of this place, and mm-hmm. we know what what would be communicated if you make the decision. And so even though you have the best of intentions, it's going to actually do a lot more damage than you're aware of. And so we have to always, like you're saying, consult with each other. The mm-hmm. wife should not be making decisions apart from the husband. The husband should Amen. Not be making decisions apart from the wife.
Amen.
There needs to be ongoing dialogue and communication and conversations with each other again. And we can never communicate enough. Like mm-hmm. over-communication is always a good thing. And when you communicate well with small matters, then mm-hmm. you can communicate better with difficult matters as they arise, and they will arise.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So, and again, just with you saying that, I'm thinking about how one of the supposedly reasons why there's separation, why there's divorces and marriage and things like that is because they would say that finances and things would be an issue of that nature. So I know I recall whenever I was working in a financial institution, what people would constantly do is whenever they're getting to that next stage of marriage, they would come in, have joint accounts and start realizing that oneness by even showing that, okay, even our bank accounts were one. And not everyone does that, and that's fine. It's okay. But the mindset, too, is that we can't always think that this is my money and that's her money, or it's, again, we're one. We're as one. So just to make sure that we're, again, on the same path of going the right way, one of the things I would always suggest is make sure that you're planning out your budget. You're budgeting what you have in your household and everything. But the decisions, again, that you're making, they have to be with each other. They don't supposed to be separate from everyone else. And also just completely submitting to that, to the understanding that you are one, that mm-hmm. that is what is yours is your wife, is your wife's, and what's theirs is yours, and vice versa. But always just coming back to, again, you are a solidified oneness with each other.
What about friendships now? So you are a married man, but before mm-hmm. you're a married man, you had friends and your wife had her girlfriends. Mm-hmm. And so how do you balance the time you spend with your family as opposed to times that you hang out with your buddies?
Right. So what I would do, and we all have a understanding of this because everyone is different, but what works for us is keeping a calendar together and never getting to the point to where I feel like I'm more of a friend than I am a husband.
Mm-hmm.
So your primary focal point is when you're married is that you're a husband first, father second. Your friendship, even though that it's a good thing to have the outlet to have that engagement with your friends, it never should supersede your relationship and your marriage. So what we would do is we would discuss that. We know that if I have let's say a poker night with some other husbands, and again, a good point of that too is with your friends, hopefully that they're on the same path of you and your walk too, because again, your community, you tend to need to make sure that your friends that are around you are motivating you or understanding of where you're at as a husband. I do know as the first married couple in my friend group, it was hard for my friends to understand that, okay, I need to be at home with my wife and family. I can't go with you every week to a certain place because my job and my primary vocation, again, is to be at home, making sure that I am being a great husband. So we would have to plan these things out well and to understand that, okay, we do have time where we're going to be with our friends. It's a mutual understanding. It's a mutual agreement. It's not necessarily spontaneous because, again, that could disrupt the routine that you have as a husband and wife. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, I keep a calendar too, and I discern any invitation I receive outside of my primary vocation here at the parish, which mm-hmm. is to be at the church and the school, I discern it with a team of people. And so I invite other people on my team into my calendar. They see my calendar. They see what I'm doing the month before, the month after, the week before, the week after. Because sometimes I might just see the week up, but like, oh, that week is fine. I can add more stuff. I could do this event or do that thing. But I'm not keeping in context how busy my weeks are going to be coming up in the future or what I have before that. And so I have a group of people who I'm vulnerable with, and I let them have access to all my stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And they pray with it, and they're like, Father Josh, we know that sounds like a good thing, but we're telling you, if you do that, that will be 3 weeks in a row where you are doing this extra stuff. And you're like, thank you so much for telling me what I couldn't see, because all I could see was that week and not the weeks before, the weeks after. I didn't think about that, didn't keep that into account. And so I think it's important that we do things like that. Share a calendar, see how decisions will affect us in the future, pay attention to the past, when we made decisions, what was the fruit of those decisions in the past?
And it's something hearing that from you, man. And it's just, I mean, the church is your bride. And I mean, you can just hear the bride coming out of them when they're discerning, again, if you're too busy or not, because I'm hearing the same thing on my side as well. So,
and then when making decisions too, I just want to address this about like about family. So for people who are able to conceive and even if you're not with adoption, yeah, just how do you go about those conversations?
As far as when they can't conceive?
Yeah, like should you conceive right now? Should you not? Should you wait? Right. Like, what are some good reasons to wait and not?
And that's something that comes up in the sermon. Like, of course, the church wants us, and that's a spiritual, a nuptial blessing. It says for them to be fruitful and multiply. And something to kind of focus on is like, okay, can I afford having three kids at this time? And, of course, the world, again, the ways of the world, they will conform to you. And I mean, well, that's constantly fighting for our attention will tell us, well, what you do is just use contraception. Birth control is something which is just causing the woman body to just do exactly what it's not supposed to do. I'm technically kind of poisonous to a woman's body, just not natural at all. But the church gives us this gift of the natural family planning, which just allows us to be in tune with the woman's body. And this is husbands as well. Husbands, you would know your wife's body just as much as they do to understand their times of fertility and to respect that and to understand that.
But things that we see, you keep in finances are something you keep in
exactly.
mind. Exactly. You can keep in mind your mental health.
Exactly.
Your wife's mental health, right? And so she mentally in a place where she is ready to conceive a child? And if not, then that's when you abstain from the sexual act, right?
Exactly.
And there are a number of things that I think people can keep in mind. I think some people think if you're married, you're just supposed to have a million babies if you can't have a million babies. And that's not what the church teaches.
No, like
we have to reverence both persons in the marriage and what they believe and perceive they're capable of at that time.
Exactly.
And obviously, if you're practicing NFP and you are able to conceive, it was God's way of blessing you with another child. And even if it wasn't part of your initial plan, the Lord provided that gift for you. But I think that there's a number of things that in the sacrament of matrimony, couples are invited to pray about and prayerfully discern. And so that's the one thing we didn't mention was prayers precede all this.
Exactly. So, and that's the thing. I mean, even though that they'll pop up and we'll say that finances is a reason and in mental health, everything first and foremost, it has to start and reside with prayer, right? So every decision that we are making and I try our best to make sure we're doing this all the time. And we fall, y'all. It's not perfect. But the decisions that we make, we're taking these things to prayer and we're discerning and asking, like, you know, what are you perceiving from the Lord at this moment about these decisions? I know for me, like, one of the big decisions that I had to make was about my job, a change in jobs, especially when I was at a point of where I was looking for employment after there were certain setbacks that happened due to, like, just company losses. They do it. Y'all are familiar with it. But I remember that one of the things that we had to take to prayer was like, do I even want to go back to this certain career? Do I change careers totally? And I mean, was it bearing fruit or was it just getting a paycheck so that we can do certain things? Or was it coming home upset? The decisions that we made were primarily linked to prayer. And where we saw that was the fruit that the Lord is just constantly saying, like, you know, his grace is sufficient. But again, like, what are we really doing these things for? Are we doing this to inspire to provide for our household? Are we doing this to keep up with the Joneses? That's kind of a mindset that plagues America every now and then. But no, it's just, again, prayer cannot be left out in these decisions, especially as a married couple.
Amen. So with that, let's go ahead and take a break. And when we get back, we are going to dive into our saint of the day. Stay tuned.
Hi, I'm Jeff Cavins, and I'm excited to introduce you to the Ascension app. It contains the full text of the Great Adventure Bible, the full text of the Catechism of the Catholic Church, and both the Bible and Catechism in a Year podcast. The app has special features that make the connections between the Bible and the Catechism crystal clear, like color-coded crosslinks and easy navigation. It also answers nearly 1,000 questions from Bible in a Year listeners about the Bible with videos from myself and others, also audio clips and excerpts from Ascension's popular books. To download the app, simply go to the App Store on your phone and search Ascension. I hope you enjoy it. I enjoy it. Carry it around everywhere I go.
And we are back. Just a reminder, you can hit me up with your own questions, comments, and critiques at www. dataascensionpress.com/askfatherjosh. You can also rate us and review us on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, and other podcast formats. And you can share us on your social media pages. If the show is good for you, it might be good for other people too. So our saint for today is a wife and a mother, Saint Mary Zhu Wu. She died in the year 1900. She was a Chinese mother of four. She was married to a lay leader in their village in the Christian community. And so during the Boxer Rebellion, Saint Mary Zhu Wu and her husband, they led their entire community in accepting over 3,000 Christian refugees into their land, which was huge because they only had about 300 people in their community.
Wow.
So 3,000 Christian refugees came. Remember Katrina, when Katrina happened, how many people moved to Baton Rouge?
Oh, yes.
I mean, because Baton Rouge was like, we were a small town before. Then it became big overnight.
It just grew.
So imagine just what that was like for 300 people to welcome and give hospitality to 3,000 people. Was the village even able to sustain that? They did. They made it work. And so during the rebellion, there's this fighting going on, and people are losing their lives. And so at one point, her husband lost his life in the battles, fighting for their dignity. And so she was able to gather all the people into a church, and there was a priest in the church, and he was about to be massacred, and she stepped in front of him, the priest.
Come on, man.
And she put her arms out in the shape of a cross to block him. And she took a million bullets for that man.
Oh, wow.
And she was martyred in the church. And it was a terrible time, but it was beautiful how they, as a couple, her and her husband, they discerned what was best for their people
and
their village. They made that difficult decision together, and the fruit that came from it was that she now is a saint, Saint Mary Zhu Wu, who died in the year 1900. She was only 50 years old. Born in 1850. So. Again, the whole point of these conversations is because we're called to be saints, and decision-making can help us and others become great saints as well. So until next time, St. Mary Zhu Wu.
Pray for us.
God bless.